It's extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chicago has always been a city of neighborhoods, almost like separate little towns. And now more than ever, the needs of these communities should be front and center. Why? Because it's election season. Both mayoral candidates are crisscrossing the city playing genre politics. But are they listening to the needs of the communities they're trying so hard to represent? We continue our tour of Chicago neighborhoods tonight. Last time we were in Inglewood. Tonight, Jefferson Park. Jefferson Park is on the northwest side of Chicago, Lawrence and Milwaukee and the surrounding area. It's a tight-knit community of single-family homes handed down from generation to generation. It's also home to many cops and firefighters. The area, predominantly white, but that's changing as more Latino residents move north and west. Politically, it's the 45th Ward, a ward that was run by powerful Alderman Patrick LaVar for years. He ran the Aviation Committee, that's airport contracts, and maybe most famous for being one of Edward Doliak's 29, the group that stood in defiant opposition of Chicago's first black mayor, Harold Washington. But more recently, the 45th Ward was represented by a progressive politician who was one of the original members of the City Council's Progressive Caucus. But just this year, Alderman Arena defeated outright by Jim Gardner, a former EMT with very little political experience. So what does it mean? Who better to talk politics with than my friend Maggie Barron? Maggie and I met 15 or so years ago as young bloggers. I like Maggie. She's feisty. She's homegrown. She's a super mom. She's also the chair of the local LSE, a cancer survivor, and for good measure, a Chicago Accent Challenge winner. She chose the place, Weston's Coffee and Tap, just across the street from the train station on Milwaukee. Weston's is a newer business to the area, but it's caught on as the place is packed daily with commuters and residents, both wanting the lavender latte and the prosciutto toast. A perfect place to talk Jeff Park.
Coming up this way, you just see there's a steady flow of people coming in this place.
Right.
But that hasn't always been the case in Jefferson Park, because I know the Gale Street Inn, which is right up the street, but I used to get off at this train station 15, 20 years ago, and I would love a Weston's, but there was right. there wasn't. This neighborhood's no. changed.
Weston's has only been around for a year or so, and it was a big development where they really redeveloped this building, and there's residential on the upper floor, and then down here, Nick runs Weston's. There have been a lot of newer businesses in the last... I've lived here in this neighborhood. I mean, I'm a Chicago native, but I've only lived in Jeff Park for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I would say in that time, there have been a lot more businesses like Weston's opening up, like Fishman's, Weston's, Fanny's Cafe, further south in the ward on Montrose. So we have a lot more opportunity for places.
Why? Because it's been a long time for Jefferson Park. It's one of those northwest side neighborhoods that has that kind of keep it like it was vibe. But what is it about the last couple of years that we've seen more and more of these small businesses kind of come up?
I think that there is a hunger from residents. A lot of people moving into the neighborhood are younger families, moving into a single family home, probably, wanting to commute with the Blue Line. And so there's been a need, and there's also, there are plenty of still empty and vacant storefronts, and a lot of retail, the big retail is closing, like Sears closed, the big auto parts store closed, but it made an opportunity for smaller, more boutique businesses that can attract people to actually come in, but you can't order a lavender latte online.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Have
you tried?
Well, maybe I could call and ask for delivery, but I really think that's kind of where retail businesses are going anyways. It's more about service and food and creating a place for people to gather together as opposed to a place where people buy stuff because most people buy stuff online.
Right.
I would say there's been a huge investment in the community. I would also credit John Arena, the alderman.
The outgoing alderman.
Yeah. He really brought a lot of new businesses in that are like this, that are, attracting different people. The great thing about Weston's, it's not just a coffee shop that, closes at 3. They're open at night. They have alcohol on tap, and they're a great place, for people to stop on their way home.
Okay, so let's talk about Jefferson Park, and I want to talk about the election, too.
Okay.
We've known each other for a long time. You cover a lot of Chicago early on when you're blogging. You know the city well.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that Jefferson Park is a microcosm of the city of Chicago? It's got a lot of different things in it, and it's got a lot of different styles. But when you think about Jefferson Park, can it be described as Chicago?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think that it's technically Chicago, but even the residents, and especially the longtime residents, say, well, it has a suburban feel. It has a suburban enclave. And even when I was growing up, it was kind of, once you got west of Cicero, I grew up near the lake in, like, Edgewater. And so, you know, it was kind of a foreign country for me to go west of Pulaski. And I think the people I've met who grew up around here, it's kind of the same, but east of Pulaski.
Right.
And
it's isolated.
There's a very...
The expressway has a lot to do with that.
The expressway has a lot to do with it. And, you know, kind of cuts right through. And there's really no easy way to get east to west in the city.
Right, right.
So it really does kind of create some physical boundaries.
The Jefferson Park is one of those areas, and one of those neighborhoods that if you are asked where you live, you almost say Jefferson Park before you say Chicago. That it's Jefferson Park is almost feels like a suburb because it's got that name. You wouldn't necessarily think this is in the Chicago boundary because of the way that the residents talk about it. You don't get that in every neighborhood.
No, you don't. And Jefferson Park, I think, isn't even as extreme as like Norwood Park and Edison Park, which is as you're going further and further close to the border or Edgebrook. But I think the Northwest Side in general has this kind of haven type of, you know, long-term residents who, you know, maybe it's multi-generations in the home and the house gets passed down. And it's one of the last really affordable neighborhoods in the city for people to hold on to their houses. I mean, my mother had to sell her house in West Edgewater because she couldn't keep up with the taxes. And I certainly wouldn't be able to afford a house on the block I grew up on. But out here in Jeff Park, it's still moderately affordable. And I think that's drawing a lot of new people.
Right.
But with the same kind of core family values that, you know, they want to walk to school. That's why we moved here.
What do people in Jefferson Park care about? And I want to say, I don't even want to throw it out because you're human beings like everybody else. But when you're thinking about it in the terms of the election and what's coming up in the runoff, what are the issues that are being talked about from the candidates that Jefferson Park cares about, that they want to dig in on?
Well, I think that, you know, our aldermanic election showed that there's kind of two Jefferson Parks right now. There is the traditional multi-generational Jefferson Park, the lot of first responders in the community, and also multi-generational first responders. And so they're concerned with their pensions. They're concerned also hyper-locally with making sure that the streets stay nice.
Right.
And, you know, that...
Someone fills the potholes.
That someone's filling the potholes and that they can call and they can get services from the city and that they're not being overlooked. It's a lot less about the city as a whole. There's a lot of talk about school overcrowding, which has been alleviated over the last few years. There's been an addition put on at Pressing School, a lot of improvements to the schools up here because of the advocacy of aldermen.
And more people are moving here, and that's why you have to...
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things where you want more people, but we also need to be able to accommodate them.
Right. You referenced the outgoing alderman, and there's two Jefferson Parks. John Arena, who's leaving, lost to Jim Gardner, who's a firefighter who ran against him. And John Arena was a big name in city council on the Progressive Caucus. He stood for a lot of progressive issues, won the first in the city council.
Yeah.
But Jefferson Park, maybe not as progressive as he is in the way that there has been a fight to almost reclaim and say that, you know what, that's all good and well that you want to do that downtown, but this is what we believe in here in this community. Do you see it that way?
I absolutely do. I feel like John Arena was really a representative for the whole city, and he serviced the ward very well. I mean, he advocated for, on a city level, to bring resources, but he also wanted to bring the city more into Jeff Park through things like affordable housing. And that, I think, you know, instantly is going to turn some people off. They want to keep their suburban like haven. I think a big reason why Jim Gardner was so successful was because he ran as says, I grew up here. I share the same values as the people in the community. I care about you more than I care about the city as a whole. And I think that there are, you know, some old school people who feel that Alderman, it's almost like a little town. It's like you're the mayor of your little ward and you represent 50,000 people and that's your turf. And so I think there's been a shift that, you know, John Arena represented a shift towards, hey, I'm representing this ward, but we're part, the city's problems are our problems too.
Right.
And I think that it's kind of gone back to, I want to just care about my ward and I want somebody advocating only for me and not necessarily getting distracted by the overall city.
I read the newspapers. I pay attention to ward stuff. I find it to be extremely fascinating. It's a nasty type of politics up here in the 45th Ward, right? There have been some very close elections. There's been some fisticuffs. There's been people ripping signs out. I mean, they get real passionate about their politics up here.
They really do. And I think the advent of social media kind of coincided with a very long-term established Alderman Pat LaVar leaving, John Arena replacing him, the advent of social media where now people can go on and
yell at people
essentially that they've never met and probably never will meet, but you know, they create these bizarre online relationships, and that has perpetuated some of the ugliness.
Do you think it's fair? You know, with the affordable housing fight that was here.
Yeah.
And over the 5150 and all the things that are happening and what really played out in the election. Do you think it's fair that other wards and other neighborhoods in Chicago look at Jefferson Park and go, oh, man, that's racist up there? Or, you know what, they don't want poor people there. I mean, because it feels like those issues get boiled down, especially when they get synthesized and synthesized down to other wards. Is that an unfair characteristic over the fight for affordable housing in Jeff Park?
I think that it's not a good look. We'll put it that way. I think that overall Jefferson Park, especially with what happened over the 5150 Northwest Highway, created some really, really strong opinions and had people demonstrating some really ugly behavior, mostly online, but some in person, that made the neighborhood look less attractive for people who would want to come in and revitalize the neighborhood.
Right.
And so it's a problem, but again, the insular kind of community that, you know, didn't want, they want to keep it like it is. They want to keep it like it
was.
Or better, that it's actually not like it is. They want to keep it like it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago or whenever, you know, they were growing up. And things have just changed, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
You are a political observer. You've always been someone who you know, has strong opinions. We got a pretty great mayoral race.
Oh yeah.
In the way the two candidates that came out of a runoff in Lightfoot and Preckwinkle. Where does Jefferson Park stand? Not necessarily you, Maggie, but where does this neighborhood stand? Because like you said, a lot of first responders, but there's also a strong progressive community here. I would assume that there's a tough choice to be made here.
Absolutely, and you can see that faction playing out with the runoff as well. Mm. The Firefighters Union endorsed Lori Lightfoot, and Alderman Spezzato and Alderman Napolitano, who are pretty much on either side of this ward, were right there for the endorsement. This ward went really heavily for Daley and Joyce. And what I love about this runoff with Jefferson Park is that there's no clear-cut, like, oh, it's the white man versus the black woman. You know, you can't bring that into the mix.
Right.
It really is about, you know, what the core values are that you think. Now, what I'm seeing in the ward is that the same groups that are insular, and
who are they going for?
This is what happened, I think, with John Arena losing, is it wasn't about who won, it was about who lost. You know, the voters in the 45th Ward didn't really necessarily need to know what Jim Gardner or Marilyn Morales or Bob Bank was about. They just didn't want John Arena anymore. So it wasn't about who won, it was about who lost. And I think that the same type of sentiment is towards Tony Preckwinkle. I think voters, especially up here, the more conservative, who have been very critical of Tony Preckwinkle since she became president of the Cook County Board, they want her to lose. Right. I don't know if they necessarily...
They want the establishment to lose.
I don't know if they necessarily support Lori Lightfoot.
Right.
They just want Tony Parker.
That's a weird thing that's happened in our society. It is. I mean, you saw that in the presidential elections.
Absolutely.
It's not about who we want to win. It's about who we want to lose.
It's all about, I like to say, it's like the epic takedown culture. You know, like, I'm going to burn them, and they're going to lose, and I'm going to feel so good when they lose. But what deal are you making with the winner? What do you really know about the person that you're supporting just to knock out somebody else? And I don't think that's a healthy way to look at how you vote, personally. I don't approach it that way. But a lot of people do.
Always great to see you. And it's always great to see you in Jeff Park. You know, we see each other other places, but to actually be in Weston's Coffee and Tea on Milwaukee Avenue is great. Maggie, thanks so much for talking.
Thanks for having me.
Maggie Barron in Jefferson Park at Weston's Coffee and Tap right on Milwaukee. On Friday, we're going to continue our neighborhood tour. We're gonna go to Chatham on 83rd Street and go to Mather's and talk with Kathy Cheney. We have a clip of that. That's coming up on Friday.
Because Chatham has always been one of those close-knit, familial neighborhoods where everyone felt like a relative. You looked out for each other. It made you feel safe. So when you have so many people coming in and going out constantly, there's a sense of security that it's lost.
Issues of public safety and crime in Chatham. We'll talk with Kathy on Friday here on Extension 720. Much more to come, including Steve Dolinsky, who is in studio with my pie. We'll talk pizza and his new venture popping up over at Revival Food Hall. We'll do that coming up here on Extension 720. So stay with us.